Shalom! Holy Scriptures and Israel is a ministry designed to share with the Jewish people the good news of the Lord Jesus, Yeshua the Messiah, and to instruct Christians on the Jewish roots of their faith. And now, teaching God's Word from a Hebrew Messianic perspective, here is Gideon Levitan.
The study of the Gospel of Mark, chapter 3, but being part of the nation of Israel does not mean that I can reject the way of salvation, the way of forgiveness of sins, and still have a relationship with God. It is not possible. We must be born again, born from above, as Yeshua said to Nicodemus. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. You must be born again. Lehivaled mechadash, we say this in Hebrew. So the first lesson that we learn from Mark chapter 3, that the concern of Yeshua's relative, because everybody follow him and they claim that he was the Son of God in those days, they claim that he was the Messiah because he healed the sick. In addition to that, he also removed unclean spirits, demons, from people who were possessed by demons. That was a proof that he was much more than just an ordinary man, that he was the promised Messiah. And beloved brothers and sisters, for us to learn from this is that we all, every man, must be right with God if he is going to have eternal relationship with God. All our human relationship will end the day of death. Death separates all relationship, it's gone. And we have to make sure that our relationship with God had been settled. The price for sin had been paid. And that we are now belong to the Lord on the basis of the finished work of the Messiah. Paul said elsewhere, by grace are ye saved through faith. And this is not of yourself, it is a gift of God, lest any man should boast, not of works. Not of works, lest any man should boast. God graciously gave us a new life by providing for us the Messiah. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, those that are in the Messiah are new creation. All things have passed away. All become new. So that's the lesson that we learn. And he wanted to teach his disciples there in the Galilee when his family came and thought that he was mad, that he was beside himself. And he showed them, no. I'm not beside myself. I'm the Son of God who came from heaven in order to provide redemption. And they are following me. They acknowledge that I am the Son of God. They are the ones that are truly my brothers, my sisters. They are the ones that have eternal relationship with God. But now let's look at the other side. Go back to Mark chapter 3, and in Mark chapter 3, verses 22 to verse 30, we read about what is known to be the unpardonable sin, the blaspheming of the Holy Spirit. Now, oftentimes we misunderstand and we think that we can commit today the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit or the unpardonable sin, but in reality, the unpardonable sin was committed then and there when Yeshua was still among the people of Israel. And you will notice it. I'll just make a reference for that. The equivalent passage to Mark chapter 3, verses 22 to 30 is found in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 12. And Matthew gives us additional information, which I will connect in a moment with this passage. So notice that it says in verse 22, here's the sinful accusation by the spiritual leaders of Israel against the Lord Yeshua the Messiah, accusing him that he cast out demons by the power of Baal Zvuv. Notice I'm reading. Verse 22, Mark 3, The scribe which came down from Jerusalem said, he hath Baal Zvuv. And by the prince of the demon, he cast out the demons. Pause here for a moment. They were accusing him that he himself was possessed by Satan, and that the fact that he cast out demons earlier is in the power of Satan rather than in the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Now that was a serious accusation. Now if you remember, we just read earlier that Baal Zvuv is known to be, according to 2 Kings chapter 1, who was that Baal Zvuv? We read that Baal Zvuv was the god with a small g of the Philistine, the Plishtim. In fact, it says here that he was the god of Ekron. Ekron was one of the cities that belonged to the Philistine. It says in 2 Kings chapter 1, verse 1, and Moab rebelled against Israel after the death of Ahab, and Ahaziah fell through the lattice in his upper chamber that was in Samaria, and he was sick. And he sent messenger, notice that, and he said unto them, go and inquire, notice that, not with the God of Israel, not with Jehovah, the God of Israel, but go inquire of Baal Zvuv, the God of Ekron, whether I shall recover of this disease. Now imagine, the king of Israel, the son of Ahab, Ahaziah, is now asking from an idol and an idolic nation to know if he will recover from the fall that he had through these letters, and he was sick, if he will recover, yes or no. That's idolatry. That's terrible. And that's why in verse 3, the angel of the Lord, according to verse 3, he said unto Elijah, Eliyahu HaTishbi, he said to him, arise, go up to meet the messengers of king of Samaria, this is the king of Israel, Ahaziah, the messengers that he sent, and say unto them, is it not because there is no God in Israel that ye go to inquire of Baal Zvuv, the god of Ekron? Is there no God in Israel that you can inquire of him? Why are you going to the idolic nation inquiring of his false God? Small g, how can you do that? The king of Israel, the king of Shomron. And so we read in verse 4, now therefore thus says the Lord, thou shalt not come down from that bed on which thou art gone up, but thou shalt surely die. And Elijah departed. Now God gave a message. You want to go to the God of Ekron, to this Baal Zvuv, and ask from him to tell you and answer whether you're going to rise up from your bed? Fine, go. But I can tell you, you will stay in your bed, you're going to die in your bed, you are not going to rise up from this condition. And notice the name of this god called Baal Zvuv. It's come from two Hebrew words. Baal means Lord. Zvuv means flies. The Lord of the flies. And there was many reasons that you can have. Why did they call these gods the Lord of the flies? And it became to be known by our own Jewish people as that which represents Satan and his demons. And Baal means Lord, Zvuv, the flies, and Israel, the Jewish people, the Pharisees, used to call Satan Baal Zvuv, the Lord of the flies. He had many demons, and he was the head, you might say, the devil himself. And that's what become among our people known to be Satan himself, the Lord of the flies. and those insects troubled them and so on. They become like some sort of unwanted ones, and just the same, like demons. That's what they do, the beating of Satan. They're doing evil and wrong things here in this world against God and against his people. And so, now notice, as we are back now, please, to our chapter in Mark chapter 3, in verse 22, they accused the Mashiach Yeshua that the miracle that he did in removing those demons from the people, he did that not by the power of the Holy Spirit of God, but by the power of Satan himself, whose name was given from 2 Kings chapter 1, the god of Ekron, Baal Zvuv. And so that is a bad accusation. To claim that the Lord does his miracles in the power of Satan was as evil as could be. In fact, it was a national sin of Israel. Of course, headed up by the leaders of Israel who accuse him for doing what he did, not in the power of God, but in the power of the devil. And so we read, beloved brothers and sisters, that's how we led into what is known to be the unpardonable sin. It is a national sin of Israel which brought about the judgment of God upon the nation of Israel, and it brought that judgment of 70 AD when the Jewish people had been persecuted by the Romans and the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem and the scattering of our own people to all the nations of the world. And by postponing the Messianic kingdom which he wanted to establish had they received him. And so we read in verses 24 to 27 of Mark chapter 3, Yeshua explained why the scribes were wrong by attributing to him that a miracle that he did were done by Satan rather than by the Holy Spirit of God. And so you notice verse 24, 25, 26, and 27. First of all, he said to them, in verse 24, if a kingdom be divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. You mean, if I do what I do in the power of Satan and only in the power of God, well then Satan, who is the head of his kingdom, fighting against himself, why would he want to remove demons out of people and have them freed from this demonic activity? If Satan was doing it, why would he want to take demons out of people? He would want to put more demons into people's life. He says, how is it possible that I do it in the power of Baal Zevuv, the prince of the demons? No, he said, if a kingdom be divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. That's the first thing he says. Then notice in verse 25, not only if a kingdom, he narrowed this down in verse 25, he said, if a house is divided, it will never stand. This is verse 25. He said, if a house be divided against itself, a house cannot stand. We know it very well. If you have a husband and a wife and children and a husband and a wife fighting with each other and the children fighting with each other, it will scatter the house. They cannot stand. The house needs to be united. Husband and wife and children need to love and care for each other in order to remain and standing firm, continuing to be a family and enjoying the things of God. But when they are divided, they cannot stand. That's why there are so many homes that are falling apart these days. He's saying to them, you're saying that I did what I did in the power of Satan, Baal Zvuv? It's not possible. A kingdom cannot stand on its own when it's divided. Even a divided home cannot stand if the house is divided. Then notice thirdly in verse 26, he continues that if Satan will rise against himself, he himself will not stand. I'm reading verse 26, and if Satan rise up against himself and be divided, he cannot stand, but hath an end. Satan cannot fight himself, and you are claiming that I do the miracle that I do, heal the sick and take the demons out of people who were possessed by demons. If I do it in the power of the Holy Spirit, how can you claim that I do it in the power of Satan? Satan cannot go against himself. He's sending demons to harm people. He doesn't take demons out of people. And you remember what Ephesians tells us. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, Ephesians 6, but against principalities and power, against the ruler of darkness in high places, Paul said. And then fourthly, notice in verse 27, no one can spoil a strong man's house unless, first of all, he bind him. I'm reading verse 27. No man can enter into a strong man's house and spoil his good, except first of all, he bind the strong man, and then he spoil his house. That strong man represents Satan. No one, he's strong man in a sense, he's the prince of the power of the air. He has many demons that are following after him, and the Lord said, this Satan need to be defeated in order to be spoils to be taken out. And you know what would happen really at the cross? When Yeshua died, he defeated Satan and took all his spoil, those that once belonged to Satan and trusted Yeshua the Messiah. They are no longer under the power of Satan against them. That's what the Lord have done. And so verse 24, 25, 26, and 27, Yeshua is explaining. And by the way, those are parables. Notice in verse 23, he said unto them in parables. Meshalim in Hebrew, parabolo in Greek, to cast alongside. He's giving us an example to teach us some of these lessons, so we will ponder that and think whether it is indeed so. And so now notice that, and that's how we get towards the final conclusion of that, what you call the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit of God. We read here, the word, by the way, for blasphemy is gidufim in Hebrew, legadef, to speak against the Holy Spirit of God. And so the Lord is saying to them in verse 28 and verse 29, notice that, first of all, verse 28, verily I say unto you, all sins shall be forgiven unto the sons of men, and blasphemies wheresoever they shall blaspheme. In other words, men may blaspheme and do all kind of sins in their life. If they repented and turned to the Lord and confessed their wrongdoing, they will receive the forgiveness of God. But, verse 29, but he that shall blaspheme against the Holy Spirit has never forgiveness, but is in danger of eternal damnation. Blaspheming against the Holy Spirit for the nation of Israel some 2,000 years ago is that the religious leaders of Israel, instead of acknowledging that Yeshua is indeed the Mashiach, the Messiah, and that the miracles that he made were only a proof that he was the promised Messiah, the Son of God, Emmanuel, God the Son. But instead of acknowledging him as the Messiah, they say that he did what he did in Satan's power. That was the sin, which said the unpardonable sin, the sin against the Holy Spirit of God. And if please, beloved brothers and sisters, turn to Matthew chapter 12. And I would like to show you that Matthew chapter 12 develops it a little bit more and gives us an additional instruction that will help us to see that the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit was a national sin of our own nation Israel and happened 2,000 years ago, which brought about the delay of the Messianic kingdom and the fact that the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem and the suffering of our own people in that generation of the time when Yeshua was here on earth. And so we read in Matthew chapter 12 the same thing. Verse 31. Wherefore I say unto you, Matthew 12, 31, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, But the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit shall not be forgiven unto men. And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Spirit, it shall not be forgiven him in this world, neither in the world to come. The ministry of the Holy Spirit of God was to direct the attention to Yeshua the Messiah. And by rejecting the testimony of the Spirit of God while Yeshua was in the midst of the nation, claiming to be the Messiah, performing the miracles which he did, become for Israel a national sin that is called the unpardonable sin. Rejecting the Messiah of Yeshua, which brought about the judgment of 70 AD and the delay of the establishment of the Messianic kingdom, which will happen in a future day. Now, how do I know that? It's about that generation. Look at what Matthew is saying. Immediately in the next verses, Matthew chapter 12, verse 33. Either make a tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by his fruit. And then he continues in verse 34, O generation of vipers, how can ye being evil speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speak. Notice verse 38. Then certain of the scribes and the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign out of thee. And Yeshua said in verse 39, But he answered and said unto them, An evil and adulterous generation. Notice how many times he used the word generation. This generation, that was the generation that experienced the Messiah in his midst. 2,000 years ago. O evil and adulterous generation, seeker after a sign, there shall no sign be given unto thee by the sign of Yonah Hanavi, the prophet Jonah. For as Yonah was 3 days and three nights in a fish's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of this earth. He continued in verse 41, speaking about the same generation. The men of Nineveh shall rise up in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Yonah, and behold, greater than Yonah was here or is here. And fourthly, again, the usage of generation in verse 42. The queen of Sheba shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. For she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and behold, greater than Solomon is here. You see, beloved brothers and sisters, it was the generation of our own nation, led by the Pharisees and the Sadducees some 2,000 years ago, while Yeshua HaMashiach was in the midst of the nation. They had the privilege of seeing him and watching him, walking with him, observing him, seeing the miracles that he had done, including the removal of demons out of men's lives. But instead of accepting him as the Mashiach, they attributed his healing to be done not in the power of Ruach HaKodesh, but in the power of Baal Zvuv, the Lord of the flies, this Satan himself. And that what brought about the judgment that they have experienced some 2,000 years ago. And that specific sin applied to these days when the Messiah was alive in the midst of our people, the generation that have experienced him in their midst. All manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men. But the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit shall not be forgiven unto men, notice, neither in this world nor in the world to come. The unpardonable sin could only have been committed by unbelievers, never believers. And specifically in the context, it's applied to the generation of our nation Israel, who have held in their midst Yeshua the Messiah, and they rejected him, claiming that whatever he have done, he have done in the power of Satan, rather than in the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Now thank God, not everyone believed what the leaders did believe. Many of the early believers were all Jewish. They have accepted that Yeshua was the Messiah. They were not guilty in that sin. And if you look at the history, you find out when 70 AD came, all the believers in Yeshua the Messiah were successful to flee out of Israel when the Romans came to destroy the temple in Jerusalem. And those who didn't from among our people said to say, 1,100,000 Jewish people were killed by the Romans. The temple was destroyed on the 9th of Av, and the Jewish people were scattered all over. And it took about 2,000 years, 2,000 years, until the nation now back in the land, until Jewish people like my grandfather, and like other grandparents, Jewish people who realized we need to go back to the land of Israel to establish a state. But all this is in preparation for Israel to come to acknowledge eventually the Messiah, when they will look upon me, whom they have pierced, Zechariah, and they shall mourn. They will realize that he was that promised Messiah that they have rejected for so many generations. You and I are privileged to believe in him today. He paid for our sin and sins, made us part of a redeemed company, and we are part of the family of God, born of the Spirit of God, born from above, born again. Thank God for this, and we look forward for the day when our people Israel as a nation will finally come to acknowledge that Yeshua indeed is the Messiah. Can we say amen to that?
You have been listening to the Holy Scriptures and Israel with Gideon Levitam. Gideon teaches God's Word from a Hebrew messianic perspective. For more information about this ministry, write to Holy Scriptures and Israel, Box 1411, Niagara-on-the-Lake, Ontario, L0S1J0, or visit our website at holyscripturesandisrael.com. You are also invited to Gideon's weekly Bible teaching on Fridays at 11 a.m. and 7 p.m., and Saturdays at 1 p.m., at Willowdale Christian Assembly Hall, 28 Martin Ross Avenue in Toronto. Holy Scriptures and Israel is made possible by your prayers and financial support. If you would like to support the program, visit holyscripturesandisrael.com. God bless you. Shalom, shalom.